I just got back from 2 weeks in Lanzarote. It must feel really cold here. Actually, no, I don't feel sorry for you. You had 2 weeks in Lanzarote. Let's pray. Father, as ever, as we open your word, we pray that we also open our hearts and minds to hear from you this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're part of this church, you'll know that we're in week three of going through the seven sayings of Jesus while he was hanging from the cross. And this week, we're going to look at two verses that Serena read. I'm just going to read again, verses 26 and 27, where we hear Jesus again speaking in some of these last moments before he died. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. I begin with a digression straight away. Because you read that, and I've often thought years ago when I became a Christian, how rude of Jesus. "Woman, here is your son." He's talking to his mother. So I just want to clarify that in the Greek, the word used for woman does not denote any kind of disrespect at all. In fact, it has a sense of being highly affectionate. And actually, we know that Jesus uses it elsewhere. So let's not think that Jesus is being so rude to his mother. He is not. And then, of course, having spoken to his mum, he then speaks to John, who is the disciple whom he loved. We read that elsewhere, actually, particularly in John. He's also believed to be the author of this particular gospel. And of course, John is not really her son, even though he says, "Woman, here is your son." And more on that later. There's two points I want to draw out from this morning, which is not what I was taught in Baptist College, which was meant to be 3 points. We're going for just the two. Two that I believe that we can glean from what Jesus says in this particular saying from the cross. Firstly, about Jesus's provision to us. Jesus here is making sure that after he dies, that his mother is well looked after. And if you think about it, that's quite incredible, and here's why. Jesus is not in a very good place at this moment in time. Last week, Tim painted this picture of this scene that we're seeing here, a picture of gloom, of darkness, of despair. I got quite depressed listening to Tim last week, and it was nothing to do with your sermon. It's just because he did such a good job at painting this image. What Tim did last week is then compared that to the paradise that Jesus offers the criminal hanging on the cross. It is an awful situation going on here. Jesus is incredibly weak, and I mean that both physically. I mean, let's face it, he's been beaten. I'm sure he's very tired. He's been carrying a cross for some of the way. But he's also weak in his position. He's got no authority now in this world. He's there hanging on a cross. He's in pain, excruciating pain, which you can hardly be surprised by that, given that he's got nails through his hands, nails through his feet. As I said, he's been beaten. He's humiliated. He's got this sign above him, King of the Jews. He's about to die. Jesus is not in a good place at this moment of time. And below him, at the foot of the cross, stands his mum, no doubt weeping at what has happened to this point, and at the realization that her son, that she brought into this world, that she brought up, is about to die. This really is quite a sad and depressing scene. I'm now getting depressed in my own sermon. And yet, And here's why I think this is incredible. Given all that is going on for Jesus right now, and yet in the midst of this, he is busy arranging his mum's future care plan. Can't be an easy thing to do when you're in such pain, in such agony. I think that's incredible. And not even a care plan which seems as though it's going to be short term. This feels like it's going to be a long-term care plan. We're told that John takes Jesus' mother into his home. And here's the point I want to make this morning for each one of us here and for you guys joining us at home. It strikes me that if Jesus is able to provide that level of care and concern and love for this particular family member in the circumstances that he currently finds himself in that moment in time, hanging from the cross, then how much more can he provide for you and for me, given his very different present position of ultimate power sat at the right-hand side of God? He's no longer weak. He's no longer in pain. He's no longer humiliated. He's no longer about to die. He has all the power of the universe at his disposal. And with that, he is more than able of providing for each and every one of us in just the way that we need. He's been doing that ever since that time on the cross when he sought to provide for his mother. You know, the Apostle Paul often comments on the provision of Jesus in his letters to the churches on how God is going to provide for us. Provide for his people, his children. In Philippians 4:19, Paul says of this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." In Romans 8:32, he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" You see, Paul knows, Paul understood that Jesus wants us to have all that we need to live out the life he wants us to live out, in the way he wants us to live it out. He wants to provide for us. Jesus, in John 10:10, says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So of course, Jesus is going to provide for us. If he wants us to have that kind of life to the full, to be fully provided for, just like his mum. We can have complete belief and assurance in the provision of Jesus because of what he demonstrated in that awful, painful, humiliating moment on the cross, in the way that he provided for his mum at that most difficult of time, in those most difficult of circumstances. He will provide so much more for us, all that we need, so we can have that life to the full, if we're just prepared to acknowledge who he is, to accept who he is. But there's another thing that strikes me in what Jesus says in that interaction with his mother, in that interaction with the disciple John. It's interesting that he has arranged for John to take his mother in. We know Jesus had brothers, but he wasn't asking them to look after his mum when he was gone. And I think that is quite interesting and tells us something else that was going on that day. You may know that the belief is that by this time, Joseph, he of the nativity, Mary's husband was already dead. Now, traditionally, in that culture, the oldest son in a Jewish family was almost duty-bound to provide for his mother's care if she became a widow. But Jesus doesn't ask any of his brothers to do that. He asks John, not only to take care of her, but to have her live in his home with him. I think what's happening here is the establishing of the family of God. And that was at the heart of Jesus's mission and ministry. The formation of the church, his body of Christ that he left behind. You know, through relationship with Jesus, believers like you and I and you guys at home become members of a new family, the family of the church. I think what happened that day, as Jesus asked John to care for his mother, is it demonstrates the working out of the benefits of the church, of the body of Christ, and shows how that together we are a spiritual family, looking out for each other, even though we aren't related. You know, whatever the reason Jesus had for not asking his brothers to look after their own mother when he was gone, this new relationship between Mary and John makes clear to us this new provision made for us in the body of Christ, in the church. You will recall a story that Jesus, well, not a story, you could recall an interaction that Jesus had with a rich man where he told him to go and sell all that he had and then follow him. You know, at one point, Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." By choosing to follow Jesus, we end up with so much more that we need to leave behind to be able to follow him. You know, when Jesus says to Mary, "Woman, here is your son," and then to John, "Here is your mother," he is showing us how our needs are to be met when we have left everything to follow him. So, welcome to the family, folks. The family of the church. One of the gifts Jesus gave us from the cross was the church. A loving, caring, sustaining, encouraging family beyond family, if you like. That's what it should be. It's a great encouragement to our faith that he illustrates the meaning of the church in the way that he did in the relationship between his mother and John. God's new family being born that day at the foot of the cross. I've been here 7.5 years now. I know, it only feels like 25, doesn't it? 7.5 years now. And many times I have mentioned how I see Worcester Baptist Church is one big family. That's how it seems to work itself out. And there's loads of reasons for that. The way the folk look out for each other, help out others, come to their aid when they're in need. Many examples that are being constantly demonstrated and demonstrated here this morning already. So well done. Could we do better? Of course we could do better. We could always do better. Perhaps we could chat more to people that we don't know too well after the service. Said that a few times. I'll say it again this morning. Good just to get to know other people outside of our group. But I don't think we do too badly. And it all began with Jesus assigning John as Mary's son, someone to care for her, to look after her once Jesus had gone from this earth. Church should be a place where folk can come and feel at home. If you're a visitor here this morning, I know you've got one or two, I hope you feel at home. Feel part of the family, feel loved, feel accepted, feel cared for, whoever they are. That's what we should be about as church, as the body of Christ here on earth. Anything else isn't as Jesus would do. He said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Let's take courage and let's take strength from the care and the power and the provision of Jesus. If he was able to care for his mother in the moment of his greatest weakness and humiliation on the cross, how much more can he provide for us and our need in his current state of ultimate power over all things? And in the church, Jesus has provided a community where no one should be without a caring family today in the body of Christ. A place where love, not just general love, but some of the love that Graham was reading out in his prayers, where a place where love and care for each other should abound. In that moment of despair and darkness and gloom and horror at the cross, Jesus was still thinking of others, providing for others. As he thinks of and provides for each one of us today. Let's never forget that. Let's pray. Father, in many ways, it is so stunning that in that moment, with all that was going on for him and his body breaking down, his getting close to breathing his last breath, his concern was about a care plan for his mum. Lord Jesus loves each and every one of us and will provide for each and every one of us. But he does so now, in that position of ultimate power over all things. Lord, may we never lose sight of that. We thank you for it. And we thank you too, Lord, for your church, your sometimes messy, often imperfect church. But Lord, I thank you for the way, particularly this church, look out for each other, come together in that time of need. So Father, may we feel part and may we grow as part of the family here in this specific church. And Lord, we pray that for all churches across this world, Lord, that they just be that family of Christ. As we saw demonstrated, as John took in Mary into his home to care for her after Jesus was gone. Lord, help us to recognize that and do what we can to make that an even bigger reality. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hand back to the band.